Oh, what a way to intro this week. Welcome to the Sports Nut Podcast. How good's that, Katie?
Oh, 90s flashback. Loving it, Ben.
Oh, it just footy's back, and it gives us, you know, something more to talk about. It's so good.
And we've passed that kind of difficult stage in the year where, well, cricket's finished, we're kind of watching reality TV, and we need some sport back, don't we?
Well, yeah, you've got me watching Married at First Sight in the background here, so I'm not too sure about that. God, I can't even fix my phone. All right, there we go. All right, Sportsnut Podcast, footy's back. Can't wait. Oh, it's just that week off in between footy and cricket. Like last weekend, like what the hell do you do? Like what? Nothing to do. Anyway.
Nothing to do.
You wanted to, so we'll jump straight into the agenda. We've got 15 points to get through this week. The first one that you wanted to bring up was the random time slots for some games this season, but probably more notably this weekend.
Yeah, this weekend. And Ben, I was hoping you would have done your research when I presented this point to you and saying, well, why is St Kilda playing the Brisbane Lions at 3:35 this Saturday at Etihad when I believe a lot of the Twilight Saturday games have been badged for a 4:35 start. Kind of that, what the AFL were doing in previous years with the Sunday Twilight. I believe there's heaps more of those Twilight Saturday afternoon games. But Ben, why is this Saturday's 3:35? Do you have an answer for me?
I actually don't, and I actually tried to do the research. So the Saints and Lions game is at 3:35 on Saturday. The Port and Frio game is at 4:05 local, which is 4:35 here. So the 4:30, it seems like, and I've gone through the fixture, it looks like they've changed all the Saturday Twilight games to 4:35 and kept the Sunday Twilights at 4:40. The only reason I could come up with, literally, was due to, I think I noticed last year a lot of the time with the 4:40 games on a Saturday, they were sort of encroaching into maybe some, you either they wouldn't get a full wrap up of the game before the next game, or I think they might have even delayed the start of a couple of games actually, just by a couple of minutes, just to sort of get the TV thing from Foxtel. So that's the only thing I can think of, is just to give that little bit of wiggle room.
Yeah, maybe that 5 minutes you've got me thinking is when you'd watch a Twilight game on the Saturday, you would miss the club, you know, you'd miss the players singing the song because they'd cut it off straight away. Yeah. Maybe that's why.
Possibly, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it could be anything to do with that. So that's the only thing I can think of. So yeah, right. Set the clocks for this year in case you think you're watching your team at 4:40 on a Saturday afternoon. Thankfully, Hawthorn don't have any Saturday Twilight games, which is good. I think we've only got one Sunday Twilight. So if you turn the TV on at 4:40 on a Saturday, you'll miss the first 5 minutes.
Yeah, and 3:35, Etihad, I will be there. Thank goodness Andy's team won their cricket grand final with only two games on the first weekend, which leaves me free to enjoy the Slaners' first game at Etihad on Saturday.
We should probably kick this off by congratulating all of the Lucas Division 2, my old boys. They got the chocolates, so well done to the boys in winning the cricket grand final last weekend. It was a good little watch. Good Friday footy. So you wanted to raise this last week. I want to ask you the question if you think, so this year, it's the Roos and the Saints, which is, it's a Twilight game, 4:40, I assume, 4:20, 4:40 on.
I actually think it's 4:20.
4:20, yep, because I probably put news or something like that in there.
Yeah.
Do you think the Roos deserve the game every year? So they were the pioneers of Friday night footy, as we know, in the 90s. But this was when they had the greatest player of the current generation playing the game. So if they were going to get more eyeballs. They got one of the lowest supporter bases. They got one of the lowest home attendance records. Yes, they pioneered the Friday footy, and that's all well and good. But don't you think that they could have maybe put this on a rotating basis where maybe this year, maybe like St Kilda and the Bulldogs, or St Kilda and Carlton, or maybe even Melbourne, or someone like that. I understand that they're trying to give everyone a shot at a good game, like a good time slot and a good money spinner. But like, do you think? And great for you, and great for St Kilda to get that Friday exposure. I don't think the Roos deserve it.
Yeah, I think it might be. My feeling is it must just be a bit of a charity from the AFL in that they don't probably get like you said, high attendances. They don't get a lot of exposure, so maybe this is their one chance.
Mm. So I think the only other...
I think it would always be two Melbourne teams, obviously.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Friday. So everyone sort of gets like one of those not exclusive games, but a good game.
Yeah.
Do you think that? So I think from memory, if memory serves me correctly, like Richmond and North Melbourne play the Eureka game. I don't know if that's even still a thing, but that's sort of the only game that I can think of where North Melbourne actually gets some sort of high attending.
Like, yeah, there's like a.
There's something behind it, like there's obviously Anzac Day and, good Easter Monday and all that sort of stuff, and Queen's Birthday and, those sort of games. I don't think North Melbourne really get one.
Pretty much nearly every round there would be some sort of
There is a theme.
Whether it's a Pride game or
Women's Round or whatever it is.
Maddie's Match. I think probably nearly every round there is something. There's a theme. This is obviously a little bit more significant. There's no other... it's a bit of a landmark, second year running, but it's a bit different, isn't it? It would generate a lot more interest and probably a lot more people watching because there's actually not that much else to watch.
It rated really, really well last year. And I believe, so it was North Melbourne and the Bulldogs, where typically you'd probably get 30,000 people to that game. I think it was 46,000, 47,000. So, and it has to beat Etihad and they have to tie it in with the Good Friday appeal and that sort of thing.
But it is always a North Melbourne home game too. So when I'm debating, well, do I go? If you're a St Kilda member... Maybe not. So, therefore, your argument about, well, whose home game is it?
Yeah.
Maybe there's scope to rotate that, I think. Because depending on whose home game it is, obviously, like I said, St Kilda members are maybe not going to go because they've got to fork out money for it.
Yeah. So, I know that with, and we're getting a little bit off topic, but with Easter Monday, Queen's Birthday, Anzac Day, they, probably not so much for Anzac Day, but... For the other ones, they do rotate the home team each year.
Geelong Hawthorn, Easter Monday.
Yeah. So, the gate takings and that sort of thing and the memberships and whatever, I think. Yeah. So, but getting back to the actual topic of Good Friday footy in general, I'm sure we talked about this last year because it was the first one. Our values in life, I'm a little bit, not religious, and you were brought up as a good Catholic schoolgirl and all that sort of thing. Thoughts on actually having a game on Good Friday? Take away the teams. It's irrelevant. So the actual game itself.
I think it's probably pretty relevant for today's society to have a footy game on Good Friday. I wouldn't mind if we didn't, only because I can kind of hover in that space of, well, it's always kind of nice in a way for nothing to be on.
But there's no games of footy on, like, Tuesdays, for example. So let's leave Tuesdays for every week on a Tuesday.
So I guess I kind of sit on the fence a little bit with this one because, I feel like, well, Good Friday, and only because I feel like, well, that's sort of what it always was and we've changed it and now it's got a different feel to it. I'm not sure. I'm definitely sitting on the fence.
Well, maybe you'll have a bit more of an idea or an appreciation maybe after this year because you will have a team playing. Maybe. So maybe we'll talk about that next week.
Yeah.
Item 3 on the agenda, the pub catch-up. So as always, the pub catch-up is brought to you by Brew Review AU for the latest in craft beer trends, latest taste tests. Head to Brew Review AU on Facebook or they're on the internet as well. They even have a website, brewreview.com.au. The pub catch-up this week. I'm having a cup of tea and a, what's this bicky? What did I bring here?
A cookie, country
cookie little bicky.
Okay, I think.
I got a cup of coffee this week. So those regular listeners will know that we love our tea and coffee here. You probably had a tea, but you probably finished it.
Yes.
Thursday night footy. So, round one, it's always the first, we always kick it off on a Thursday night. So that's all well and good. Without looking too deep into the fixture, I assume there's probably a block of six games on Thursday night in the middle of the season. Are you a yay or a nay for Thursday footy?
My notes, Ben, say yay with two underlines.
Oh, the double underline.
That's the skirted state stamp of approval.
Yes.
The double underline, only because, selfishly, it breaks up my week. This year I work on a Thursday and Friday, so it's really going to feel like that Thursday night. Well, it just almost makes it feel like the weekend.
Yep.
And it's kind of an excuse to think, should we just get some takeaways? Because there's footy on a Thursday.
Sure.
So I'm... I'm all for it. Yep. I really like it.
Yep, I agree. So rugby league, they sort of had a two Friday night games, and then a scope of Saturday and Sunday games, and they also had a Monday night game. They've turfed the Monday night game, and they now do a Thursday night game.
Mm-hmm.
From all reports, it rates its socks off. It's I don't know how well attended it is. It's rugby league, so probably not that well.
Thursday's much better than the Monday, and we know that the Saints and Carlton tried to
Tried
to do the Monday, and it just didn't work.
Well, it's just like by Sunday night, your weekend's done. Like,
yeah.
Who wants to go to the footy on a Monday?
Yeah, no.
I mean, really, I mean, I'd go to footy at 3 a.m. on a Wednesday morning, really. Yeah. But like, if it was on, but like, yeah, Mondays don't work. Thursday. I put it this way: within 5 years, Thursdays will be the new marquee game. Everyone will want to play Thursday nights. I'm telling you that. Yeah. Now.
I wonder how many Thursday night games are in Melbourne.
Yeah, so I think they, let's say over the last sort of 2 years, they've trialled blocks of five in a row, I think, in the middle of the year.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure only one or two of them get played in Melbourne. They're
to me, it feels more like an interstate thing.
I agree, yeah.
I'd rather watch it Adelaide, Perth.
Yep.
Yeah, that's right. That's agreed. Where I feel like it fits.
You wanted to talk about the new Moorabbin. So those of you who don't know, Katie's Mighty Saints have decided to uproot from Seaford. They're home away from home, I guess. They've went on a bit of a holiday for, what, five?
Yeah, a little years. While.
Yep. And they've gone and taken the Soul Cup. I saw a photo on social today. Their Soul Cup is in a photo overlooking the ground.
And if you follow any of the Saints players... I think nearly all of them uploaded a photo of their new lockers today, and everyone seems to be really excited about it.
So it's their spiritual home. It's, you know, it's Collingwood back at Victoria Park. It's Hawthorn back at Glen Ferry. It's, you know, it works. It it'll create a nice symmetry, I think. But
yeah.
I want to get your full little opinion on this one.
So obviously we left Moorabbin, and at the time the club just didn't have the funds to do anything. So they didn't have the funds to renovate. They didn't have the funds to do anything.
Yeah.
So it was kind of left like a bit of a wasteland.
Yeah.
Really looked quite horrendous. And the club thought that was forever. So it's probably safe to say that the Seaford experiment, I would say, was a bit of a flop.
How much money do you reckon they wasted on the... Ooh. As opposed to what they could have... I mean, I understand that the facilities, they outgrew their facilities and they wanted to be a professional club, as they all do. But how much money do you think it cost them in the end to move? Like, couldn't they have just maybe had a temporary home and tried to get the money? Because this, as you said...
It seems crazy, doesn't it?
Well, this was clearly designed, as you said, to be their home base.
And you would think, too, that the players would be a little bit happy about it, too, Ben, not having to travel out that way to train.
Yeah.
So the promo for the club going back to Moorabbin is 2018 never happens. So the idea being that we were never supposed to get back there.
Okay.
But never can happen.
Okay. Yeah, a little cryptic.
They're kind of suggesting that 2018, well... We're perhaps saying that we were never supposed to win the grand finals, but never can happen.
Okay.
Interesting.
Okay. Get it? It never can happen. Yeah.
Yeah. So never does happen.
Yeah. It's like the, I think we talked about this last week. I think it was, I don't know if it was the might have been the Red Sox in the baseball. They had the why not us.
Yeah.
Similar lines. Yeah.
So, the idea being that, yes, Moorabbin, we were never supposed to get back there.
Yep.
But now we are. It was St Kilda's home ground for 45 years.
Mm-hmm.
There was that game against the Bulldogs when Plugger kicked 15 goals, 14. I don't know if you've seen any vision of that. And everyone in the crowd went crazy.
Goes 15 goals, 14.
15 goals, 4, sorry.
Oh, 15, sorry.
15 goals, 4.
Yeah.
At Moorabbin, classic vision of all the Saints supporters running out onto
That's
the ground.
That's not when he did the old... Up yours thing, was it?
Like, no, I don't believe so.
Yeah, okay.
No. I have really, really faint memories of going to Moorabbin, and I would have been probably 4 or 5 at the time. So my mum and dad used to do the big trek from Ballarat to Moorabbin. So back in the late 80s, that's a fair old trek, and we used to sit right up the back underneath the stands at Moorabbin. So I think kind of only good can come from it, because it's the spiritual home.
Yep.
Like you said,
yep.
It is going to be called RSEA Park.
Yeah, I think that's one of their sponsors.
Yeah, yep. Which is, you know, that's a bit random. It'll always be
Well, same as Geelong being GMHBA Stadium now. Like, no one's going to call it that.
Yeah, that's right. It's Gardenia Park.
Yeah, I know. People still call it Skilled.
Yeah, that's right. So, never happens. Hashtag halos on.
Okay, cool.
We've all got our halos on.
That's good. That's good to see. Well, not that I'm a St Kilda fan or anything like that, but I'm very much a fan of teams going back to their home bases and sort of, you know, that's their culture, that's their history, that's where all the good things have happened in their history. So
yeah, I'm sure we will hear the word spiritual home sort of being floated around, which will probably be a buzzword for the St Kilda Football Club.
Sure.
What do you reckon some other buzzwords might be this season, Ben?
Geez, that was a good segue, and so totally unintentional. All right, so keep an eye. So you probably all know now if you listen to the podcast and regular listeners, including our mate Dave, who said g'day, by the way. Dave Evans, good Hawthorn man, who's related to you. So
yes, he is.
He did say g'day. Yeah. So you probably all know by now that I'm a media nut. So I love everything in the media, right? And I'm all over the buzzwords this year. So last year, you know, the word agenda was being used a lot, and we're not even talking like footy speak, like, you know, covering the ground and kick it on the 45. You'll hear that a lot this year. So when they kick it on the 45 degree angle, kick it on the 45. Listen out for the words optics and narrative. So when they're talking about, you know, a story or something like that, you'll hear the words narrative, and you'll hear the phrase switching the narrative a lot, and you'll hear the word optics a lot. So everything's about it. It's just another word for what I can see. And they talk about the optics. Yep. So listen out for those keywords this year.
Just some new rhetoric for us to familiarise ourselves with.
Absolutely. Speaking of optics, watch out for the return in terms of game styles this year. The resting full forward. So, the resting mid at full forward. So that's going to be the new...
So the old Dangerfield.
Oh, yeah.
Dangerfield, Ablett.
Cripps, Fife, Dusty, Danger, Gaz, maybe Tom Mitchell, maybe Jack Stephen. You never know. Like, these blokes...
We really saw that, didn't we, when Paddy Dangerfield got injured.
Against us, yep.
Against Hawthorn, put him in the forward line.
Kick 5, goal 6, run it off his own leg.
I feel like after that kind of coaching move, everyone sort of started to talk about it.
Yep. So I think
not that genius, really.
What, putting someone in the goal square?
But you've got to have a mid who's really strong overhead, I feel, in a contest.
Well, they've got to be strong overhead, but they've also got to have the footy brains as well. Yeah, so, right. But I think you'll see a lot of... And you're going to the... Like, obviously, on Sunday or Saturday... You might see a lot of 17-man zones and a one out in the goal square, which I'm all for.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
I personally reckon, and this is getting a little bit off topic, but I think the 40 maximum interchange rule, I reckon that's going to come in sooner rather than later.
Yeah.
And I think this is kind of a step towards that, where instead of, like, if you're going to have Dangerfield as the example, if you could have him on, say, on the ground for 80% of the time and maybe 20% on the bench. Well, would you rather have him on the ground for 90% of the time but 10% in the forward line? Yeah. He'll kick you 2 goals and that could win you the game. So,
yeah, exactly.
You wanted to flag what your go-to snack at the footy was.
Yeah, just something a bit different, Ben. I was thinking, so you know how we speak a lot about traditions on our podcast because we like...
Well,
we
you're like the traditionalist. No,
we like reminiscing.
We do.
Thinking, when you go, what's that one thing that you really look forward to because it's your day out, you don't have babies to look after, you're catching up with friends, you're going with family, and kind of, what's your go-to?
What do you think my go-to would be? If you, like, you know me well enough, what do you think my go-to is if I'm going on the footy? What am I going to eat?
Well, I think there'd be a variety. There'd at least be a bag of crisps.
Yeah.
And then that might be a half time.
I'm talking like hot food. Like, what's going to be my hot food? What am I going to eat? I'm going to eat a pie with sauce. Let's be honest.
Yeah, right, a pie with sauce. Okay, but I don't know whether you'd be a hot dog man.
Nah, the footy, I'm a pie man.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, pie, and I don't even really drink Coke. Like, I actually, you know, we're Pepsi Max people.
Yes.
But for some reason, when I'm at the footy, I'll just, like, and normally if I have the option of Coke, Diet Coke, or Coke, no sugar, which I actually do like,
okay,
I will still, if I'm at the footy, I'll still just drink a normal Coke. Don't know why.
Right, okay. That's your tradition.
Pie, chips, bottle of Coke.
See, interesting. It tells a lot about a person. If I'm at the MCG...
Aren't you like a sushi person at the footy?
Oh, well, it depends, Ben. If it's a night game at the MCG, okay, it's South Bank Food Court, Think Asia, okay, Mega Ring.
Yep.
if I'm at the MCG during a day game...
yep. I love how we've boiled this down to even the time of the day.
I enjoy going to Red Rooster. Okay. The if I'm at Etihad,
yep.
I will always have a bit of a shop at DFO beforehand.
Okay.
And I enjoy that there's now a Schnitz at the DFO.
Oh, yes.
Spencer Street food court. Yep. So really, if I'm at Etihad, I don't buy much. It might be a Diet Coke and maybe a Cherry Ripe that I split in half with Mum.
Cherry Ripes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I used to like them when I was a kid and then I sort of stopped.
I've always wondered why at the footy you can only buy king-size chocolate. It's a king-size Cherry Ripe, Time Out.
Yeah, okay.
Something else. It's not normal size.
Like, but not at like a servo, do you mean? Or
as no. King-size Cherry Ripe. Yeah. That's all you can get. King-size chocolate.
Oh, as in you can't buy a smaller size than king-size. It's clearly designed to make you spend more money. Like, what are you paying for that bloody king-size Cherry Ripe? $6.90?
So I'd love to hear from other people, Ben, because you know I love this stuff. What you do. Tradition.
It's the little things, isn't it? But absolutely. But the little thing... Okay, so yes, the footy is the central part of the day. But, like, it's the little things around that that actually complete the day. Yeah. So, you know, like, as you know, I took the girls to their first game of footy last year, to the Hawthorn Richmond game, and I took them to a hotel, and we stayed the night before, and we got room service. It was, like, our really cool little thing, right?
And but you start to build family traditions into that.
Exactly. And we're planning on doing it around Kenza's birthday this year, so I want to take her down and do the same sort of thing, which will be great. Cool. But it's everything around that is what builds the day. So, like, walking over to the ground, buying a record, little things.
Who buys records, then?
What, that's don't
too
you?
Much.
What, like $5?
I would never, ever buy a record.
Are they not like $5? You've just spent $23.80 on a king-size bloody cherry, right?
If my team's in the finals, that's the only time I would buy a record.
Okay.
My dad's still a sucker for a record, but he'll buy them for my brother.
Of course he is.
I'll buy that for Justin.
Yeah, okay. So I'm like a... I'll buy a record if I'm at the game and it's my team and Hawthorn playing, as opposed to I will... the years that we've made the grand finals, I've just gone to the newsagent and bought the grand final record. But again, this is all part of the day. Like, it's... They talk about match day experience and the fan experience and everything and putting bloody bullshit... stuff all over the scoreboard and everything like that. Nah, give me like a pie and a Coke.
That's right.
Give me a good game of footy and I'm happy.
Absolutely. That's all you need. I wonder, Ben,
what
someone like James Heard would eat at the footy. What do you reckon he would go to?
James Heard, he's a sushi man. So like, he'd be like a sushi and a water guy. Actually, do you know what? I reckon he would get Tanya to pack him a bloody... Pack him a chicken salad roll.
Maybe. He'd have a bento box for sure.
But what?
A bento box.
Do I need to ask what that is?
Google it when you get home.
All right.
So, in all seriousness, Ben, James Heard is creeping back into public life.
Yep.
Specifically, footy life. What did you listen to today?
So the last couple of days, I've just picked up on the fact that, and I mean, really, we shouldn't be plugging our opposition here, Shane Crawford and James Heard have started a podcast, and it's been going for a few weeks, but I only picked up on it yesterday on Shane Crawford's Twitter. And I gave it a listen. I think it's about 4 or 5 episodes deep so far. And it's actually not a bad listen. So, like, you know, most people that know Shane Crawford in a public life would sort of think, oh, he's that dickhead from the footy show that sort of just tries to be funny and he's really not and that sort of thing. But when he's not being that person, he's actually quite knowledgeable. And personally, I love listening to the old stories about, like, Clarkson and when he first came in and a lot of that sort of stuff. But... each episode, they've kind of touched a little bit on James Heard, and he's been quite open in talking about his, battles with depression and stuff like that. And I just found it, like, really interesting, and, like, that area of, like, mental health, and men's mental health especially, is something that I'm pretty passionate about and pretty upfront about as well. So, so I've had some things like that as well. So it was really interesting to, I guess, listen to the way he goes about it and, you know, how he spent some time in an institution and, you know, how reporters are camped out the front of his house for, like, a year and a half straight. Like, he's got 3 sort of kids going to high school. Like, imagine all the shit they would have been copping. Like, I've probably got a little bit of a bit more of an understanding. Doesn't excuse what he did and the program he did and whether he was guilty. We are not even here to debate that because I'm sick of talking about it and hearing about it. But it's sort of, he's really switched on and cluey and he knows the game really well. and he's still a Bombers fan, and he still likes watching the footy, and, you know, he's quite into it still, and, yeah, it's quite good. They've sort of asked him the question a couple of times about whether he's going to go and do the opposition analyst coach for Frio. He apparently still hasn't made a decision on that, but he's thinking about it. I reckon he'll end up probably doing some stuff for Channel 7 as well, which he did sort of, I think, during his playing career, and then he went to Foxtel before he became a coach, but... Yeah, really interesting listen. So I think it's just called Crawford Hurdy. Well worth having a listen. And the look on your face tells me that you're either not going to listen or you don't care for his opinion.
Yeah, I don't know, Ben. I just find it really tough to grapple with the fact that someone who made those decisions can still, like your notes say, kind of just creep back into public life. And let's be honest... He's getting paid for his podcast, probably, somehow.
Yeah, maybe.
You're not. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It just doesn't sit that well with me. He's stuffed up.
Yeah.
And I just don't know why he gets the right to kind of just be able to... Well, I don't know.
Isn't it sort of the Aussie way to give someone a second chance, though? Like, or you don't care for that in this instance because what he did was so huge, or...?
Well, yeah, give people a second chance. But what about people... who probably deserve a go.
Mm.
So he's getting a second chance over people who deserve a crack.
Yeah.
That's where it doesn't sit well with me.
Yeah, yeah. I understand where you're coming from. I guess from...
Get a real job.
Yeah. Do you know what? He actually has a real job, and he's a bloody multimillionaire because he sources chocolate from... where do they get the Arabica beans from? Like...
Oh, like South America?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, okay. Apparently he's quite...
We'll just do that. Like,
so you don't want him in the public light?
No, I just don't see the need.
Okay.
I don't know. Yeah, smart footballer, whatever, but I don't know.
So what about... So we're talking, before we came to air, a little bit of behind the scenes. So Gary Lyon, we're talking about that. Yeah. So he sort of drip-fed himself back into public life and...
I think that's a little bit different, and that was just kind of a personal indiscretion.
Yeah,
that's a little bit different.
What he did had no ramification over a whole systematic football club approach. Yeah.
Okay. I still don't really enjoy listening to him. I probably never did, but I think they're quite different.
What did you think of his no socks effort on the couch last night? Yawn.
Yeah, just no.
So we were texting about, and we weren't even going to bring this up, but. So the footy shows came back last night. Talking Footy wasn't on, which I found weird. Mm. I didn't understand why. Did you watch any of Classified? I didn't see anything. No. The set on...
I do know that just Chris Judd's on it.
On it, yeah. So the set on AFL 360, personally, too busy for my liking. There's too many screens and too much going on behind them and on the actual set itself.
Yes.
And we were texting each other last night about the off on the couch... set, and I said, so it used to look like a log cabin in the mountains with a nice warm fire and things like that. I described it as a metro 30 or 40th story apartment building, and you described it.
Well, I just described it as a 1970s office block. It was horrendous. It was so cold. The armchairs were like a latte beige
fake color. Windows.
Terrible. The lighting was like a fluorescent light. It was really, really gross. I don't know. And Gary Lyon just didn't fit.
It was weird having four people for the whole... Anyway, we'll talk about that later on another time.
Should we change the feel here, Ben? And let's go away from TV.
Yep.
And I'd like to ask you about mascots.
Yeah.
Where do you think
you wanted to? You wanted to flag mascots, and I wanted to talk about the club songs. So, mascots.
Yeah, mascots only because... I don't know, is there a place for the mascot anymore?
Can I tell you how relevant mascots are in AFL now? They're about as irrelevant as goal umpire flags. Think about goal umpire flags for a second. What is the point? There are official scorers, there's that many media outlets, there's electronic scoreboards that actually do the scoring. All the bloody flags do is indicate to the goal umpire on the other end that a goal was kicked, even though... 80,000 other people know that there was a goal kicked. What is the point of goal of flags?
Are they relevant as a running through the banner?
I feel like we've had this conversation. I thought you still liked banners.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, see, I don't sort of care for them so much.
Yeah, right. Interesting. I don't know. Maybe you need to ask your girls about the mascots
from
that age bracket of like,
yeah,
you know,
well, it's five, all six, about, well, yeah, old. Really, it's about, yeah, it's about the, so like the Hawthorne mascot, his name's Hawker. That's just so, it's just visionary. Like somebody probably got paid hundreds of thousands of dollars to think of that. And yeah, I mean, it's really about like the membership side of things, like you join the Hawker Club or something. And then, the, like,
well, the Saints have Trevor and then Angelica or something. So they have the token girl mascot.
At least they're new age.
A little bit strange. But remember when the Carlton man came out and he was on...
He stood on top of the grandstand.
Yeah, Optus Oval on the hoverboard.
Yeah.
The hoverboard. The blow-up
thing. Oh, like the hovercraft thing.
Yeah, the hovercraft. Yeah. Not the hoverboard. That's Back to the Future.
Marty McFly, big fan.
Yeah. So, Ben, you think they're irrelevant... I'm not sure. I think I like them, but maybe ask your kids.
Yeah. I don't think the girls would even really... Like, if I said, oh, do you like what that is? Kens would probably just go, yeah. No, like, I don't think... Yeah. They're probably not the right age.
I also do remember going down to Cadenia Park and the cat, and I was just terrified of the cat. And Dad tried to use to get me down on the fence to get a photo with the cat. I think he's number one. He's called Number One Cat.
Oh, that's original.
Yeah, strange.
He might have a nickname now.
It's one of those things that if you described it to people who aren't followers of AFL and maybe not from this country, you'd be like, so why? They dress up.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just strange.
But it's definitely a throwback thing. So it's probably one of those traditions that got brought in maybe in the 70s and 80s and 90s and they've kept with it. Speaking of, controversy last week when it was put out that the clubs had their theme songs rewritten and re-recorded. Mm. Well, not really rewritten, but re-recorded. Did St Kilda redo it? I didn't listen to theirs. Oh,
I
did you?
I don't believe so. I haven't seen anything on their website. No. Don't think so.
So, hated it. Just crap.
Yeah.
Like, just why bother? Like, that was just unnecessary money that the AFL could have given to a freaking charity or put into grassroots footy.
Strange.
They've paid someone to to digitalise the bloody theme songs so that they could be played over digital. Well, I'm pretty sure if they're online, they're already playable over digital.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. So anyway, but so I know that I'm pretty sure at this point in time, I didn't check today, but Richmond and because they changed one of the words in there, like risking head and shin over risking head and skin or something like that. One of them got changed, and I think Sydney is going to use their new cheer, the red and the white or whatever. I'm very happy to report that Hawthorne is going back to the old Fable Brothers songs, so they're not going to use... And I think Eddie came out and said that he wasn't going to use the new one. So just just an absolute waste of money and just annoying.
Yeah.
I usually sort of do like a bit of a take each week, don't I? So like something that's sort of, you know, topical and maybe give a little bit of a long-form opinion on it. So I think it was Damien Barrett put up on the footy show last week that the AFL reserves competition is going to possibly be coming back in. So personally, not that anyone's asking, but I'm all for it. So I reckon bring back the curtain raiser. You know, the whole team travels together. The coaching and the staff have full control over the whole football program. The VFL, you know, will sort of become your old suburban league again. I guess that's my main concern, that if the level is going to be competitive enough in that league. So I'd expect probably Foxtel to show maybe all the games or a fair chunk of them. I reckon the VFL is probably going to go back to the ABC if that was to be the case, if they even get a broadcast deal at all. The club list will probably have to expand, so they'll probably have to go out to maybe 55 or 60 maybe if they're going to get a full reserves and seniors list. Or put to two teams together each week. I'd even like to see and go as far as seeing zoned or academy or father-son prospects given permission to train or even play with the reserves the year before. So it gives you a bit of a chance to... Well, it gives those guys a bit of a chance to showcase what they can do because, you know, father-sons and academy and zoned players, they're not a guarantee to be picked up by that club, but it gives them some extra exposure that they maybe otherwise wouldn't have had. So I think that it can be a good thing for them, and I think I'm all for it. What do you reckon?
Yeah, well, I think you'd be hard-pressed to find someone who would be against that coming back.
Yep.
As you're talking, I'm just thinking, I guess, all the ramifications of what that looks like, because that would affect the VFL teams playing now, what does that look like? Does that affect the TAC cut? You know, like, it just, there's a big flow and effect. How do they pay these players? I don't know. I'm all for it, but I guess it's not my job to work out what that looks like, the big picture of it, but I say bring it on.
Yeah, absolutely. And you wanted to talk about local footy grounds or local ground quality in Ballarat?
Well, Ben, when I went to watch the B-grade cricket final on Saturday, I noticed the Marty Bush Reserve first oval, the quality just looked pretty damn impressive.
So good, yep.
Really impressive. And I'm thinking, hang on, why is this oval so gosh darn good? I think you've got a bit of insight on that.
Yeah, I think, so I'm pretty sure the ground got, well, they got like some money together. They had to raise some money to get the lights and that sort of thing improved, and then they ended up sort of doing the whole ground. I'm pretty sure last year it got rated the best surface in Country Victoria. I think it was Country Victoria, which is a pretty good effort. I mean, granted, it was a brand new surface, so that's probably going to happen. So I went and watched the cricket on the Sunday on the Sebas No. 2 Oval. That's locally here in Ballarat. And I noticed that... so they were playing a TAT Cup women's comp game.
Oh, right.
So the Rebels and I think it was the Falcons, they were sort of playing on that, on the main oval at Sebas or Marty Bush Reserve. Yeah, awesome quality, awesome oval. I was talking to one of the guys from the cricket to Lyndon, and he was saying that, so he used to play footy for Wenderee, and he was saying that the Wenderee ground is incredible now, and even that's even just as good. So I think it's awesome that that we're putting resources into fixing and maintaining and upgrading all of the local ovals in Ballarat. So, you know, between North and Wenderee and Sebas, like, I think there's some really good surfaces. And hopefully it means that the quality of footy goes along with it. And hopefully, for Sebas's sake, they've been, and we talked about this last year, they've been on the bottom for that bloody long. But with North Ballarat not sort of having a team in the VFL this year, I think they've picked up 4 or 5 North players.
Yeah.
So you'd like to hope that they'll be sort of competitive and they can hopefully put that oval to good use with some good footy.
Yeah, you'd hope there's a bit of talent spread in Ballarat.
Yeah, absolutely. Katie, I wanted to talk about my TV picks for the weekend. So there's that much sport going on at the minute, locally and internationally.
That you're all over it. Here's with it.
Always.
Got my pen and paper.
Got your pen and paper. Right, so AFL's back this week. Tick. That's enough. Yes. Second of all, the third cricket test starts on Thursday. News just dropped, as we record this, probably about an hour and a half, 2 hours ago, that fast bowler Kigniso Rabada, he got his ban overturned. So he'll be playing, which, you know, whether it's good, whether it's bad, whether it's indifferent, you know, we're not here to debate that. I think it's good for the game that the best players are playing, so that's all well and good. A bit of a knock on Starkey at the minute, so he's got a bit of a sore calf. So that might open the door for young Jai Richardson, who's one of Andy's favourites.
One of Andy's
men. He could debut, so he'd be a like-for-like replacement. We've got the NBL Grand Final Series, so that's locked at 1-1. Melbourne United versus the Adelaide 36ers, so that's on Friday and Sunday. Friday night, Sunday afternoon, possibly. So for the 36ers, their best player, Josh Childress, he's going to be out for the rest of the final. So that opens the door for our boys at the Melbourne United to pick up the grand final.
Played where, Ben?
So the game 3 will be at Hisense on Friday night, and then Sunday will be over in Adelaide. Then you've got the AFL Women's Grand Final, which I know, you'll just be all over that, won't you? She mouths. So that'll be the Dogs and the Lions Sunday afternoon. I think it's a 12:35 start or something like that.
At Wynn Oval?
No, it's at Icon. So it's a home game, but not a home game for the Dogs. You got the Cricket World Cup qualifiers. So there's on Fox Sports 507, I think it's been. They've decreased the amount of teams that can qualify for the next World Cup, which is in England, but they're playing the qualifiers for the last two spots at the minute. So that's actually been pretty good to watch. So there's plenty. You got rugby league back. You got rugby union. There's, I think, soccer's about to hit the finals. I think it might be the last round this weekend. So there's plenty on.
Plenty. Right.
Next one that we do. So a new scene we introduce. New new thing we introduced last week was the Fast Five. So Fast Five, proudly brought to you by Fast Five Fantasy Sports. Kate, did you know that Fast Five Fantasy Sport is the latest fantasy sport craze? It's sweeping the nation. Footy, cricket, basketball, they've got you covered. It's so simple and easy to play. You only have to pick five players. It's that easy. Check them out at Fast Five Fantasy Sports on Facebook. This week's Fast Five. What are your best five sports to watch on TV that isn't AFL footy?
That isn't AFL.
Yep.
Next for me underneath AFL, if I've got them in order here, Ben.
Yep. 1 to 5 or 5 to 1? Countdown.
One to five.
Nah, countdown. 5 to 1. Go the opposite way.
Number five, basketball.
So that is your fifth favourite or your first favourite?
Fifth favourite.
Okay.
Number four, tennis.
Yep.
Number three, gymnastics.
Okay.
Number two, cricket.
Yep.
Number one, can you guess?
Netball?
No.
No. Oh, I don't know.
Well, back in the day, Ben, I'm not sure if you know this actually about me, but I used to be a runner. So I used to run for YCW Harriers here in Ballarat, and I was a middle distance runner.
Right.
So whenever there's track and field on TV,
yes,
that's kind of my go-to, especially if it's a 3,000, a 3,000 steeplechase, 5,000, 10,000.
Well, the Com Games are coming up soon, so you'll be all over that.
Yeah, or a marathon I really quite enjoy watching as well.
Couldn't be less bored. Couldn't be more bored watching a marathon. But I appreciate the everything that they put their body through and that sort of thing. You've done a half marathon, haven't you?
I've done 2 half marathons.
Well, that's like a full marathon. Well, that's pretty good.
Yeah. If you kind of look at me now, I don't think you'd think, gosh, she's a runner.
It's okay. I've got kids too.
One day I would love to be able to do a full marathon. We'll see.
Well, I reckon we'll get behind you. And I reckon either one of our sponsors, like the Brew Review AU or the Fast Five Fantasy Sports, could totally sponsor you.
Maybe I could call it now. Maybe I won't do a full marathon. Maybe the Melbourne half marathon in October.
Uh-huh.
I could maybe work towards, and I might have to wear a sports nut singlet.
I will pay for that for you to do that. That would be amazing. I'll be there with my sports nut.
I've said it out loud. Can I do it?
Ooh. I reckon maybe. You can. Bloody oath you can. I'll look after Hides for you. All right, done. My five, my fifth is indoor cricket. I love watching indoor cricket on TV. It's fast. It's awesome. Number four is NFL. Number three, golf. I bloody love watching golf. I love watching golf on TV. I love watching golf.
Oh, Ben, that's horrendous.
Number two is basketball, and number one is cricket. You can't go past a good game of cricket. Tennis is a notable admission.
But we watch golf instead of tennis.
You watch tennis instead of golf?
Oh.
Actually, I will put a poll. I haven't done a poll for a little while. I'll do a poll on the page this week, and I will say, what is the more boring sport to watch between golf and tennis? I guarantee you tennis will be more boring than golf.
Disagree, but go for it.
Done. I've got a stat. You didn't know I was doing this, but I've got a stat of the day for you. Well, it's the stat of the week.
Yes.
So, did you know that... Well, I'm sure you know, and all of our clued-up listeners will know, that round one is probably as important as any other round in the AFL season.
Mm-hmm.
It's worth the same amount of points as any other. If you get a win, you still get 4 points.
I think you should preach this to St Kilda. We can't ever really seem to win at round one.
Well, funny you say that, because the teams that don't win in round one don't win the flag. And I've got a stat to back that up. So... only 3 teams this century have lost in round one and actually won the flag.
Wow.
Brisbane in 2001, Geelong in 2007, and Hawthorn in 2013. So basically, anyone that says round one is like any other round and that sort of thing, that is bullshit. Because the last 13 out of the last 16, sorry, you, no, 14 out of the last 17 premiers have had to win round one to win the flag. There you go.
That's a great stat.
Bloody oath it is. Real quick one, are you going to do your blog this year?
Yeah, we'll see. Hopefully.
Okay, cool. I didn't know if you were going to do it or not. So
hopefully.
Maybe now that you've said in a public forum, if you say yes, like your half marathon, you may have to commit to it.
Yes.
All right, wrap this up.
Well, Ben, gosh, on that note, now I'm starting to sweat thinking about doing a half marathon again.
Me too. And I sweat getting off the couch.
Thank you, everyone, for listening. We hope you enjoyed it. We will have to catch up on the last little bit of Married at First Sight. If you have any topics that you wish for us to discuss, let us know. Get in touch by us via Facebook at SportsNutOz. It can be anything, even what do you like to eat at the football, for example.
We would love to hear your ideas. Anything.
Best of luck to everyone in cricket finals this week. Congrats to our boys. Like we said, the Lucas team, one day team, who won the grand final series 2-0 on the weekend. And good luck to all 18 teams this weekend in the AFL. Until next week, don't forget our hashtag. Ben, what is it?
May the sport be with you. And I just want to leave it on this note, Katie, because I'm excited.
The thing about football.
I love you copyrighted, Ben.
So? It's in a public forum. I can still use it.